Jesus House, In Pursuit of God, Discovering Purpose, Maximizing Potential, Impacting Lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Almighty God, tonight we come before you and we pause for a moment and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for each person. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you and sit at your feet and open the word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you take absolute control. We ask you to teach us the mind of the Father. We pray that you help each person understand you at their varying levels. We join our faith together and we pray, my Father, that as each person comes to you with their needs, their expectations, their hopes, and their desires, as they learn, as they spend time with you, as they learn from you, meet those desires. Do the miraculous because that's just you. Glorify your name because you promised. And may the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be glorified in all ways and in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, it's lovely to be back. It's great to see you all. And so what we're going to do tonight, as this is our first one, we're going to pick up where we left off with the fast, and we're going to have a look at Psalms 126, and we're going to let the Lord lead us from there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you could turn in your Bibles to Psalm 126, and let's have a look at the word that God has given us this year. And I pray it just touches your heart in all ways and in all things. And so we'll read it in a variety of translations, and then we'll pick it up from there. And we'll just see what the Lord says tonight. Just before we start, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a request. If you're taking notes, whether that's on a phone, if you are listening, or you've logged on online and you're taking notes, can you kindly write down in your notes what you are believing God for? Now, I know that there are some people who did not necessarily go through the 30 or what turned into 42 days of fasting with us. That's absolutely fine. But if you're believing God for something, can you just put that at the top of your notes and let that be our focus for tonight? You just write it down and that's what we're going to focus on. And so I'm going to have a look at Psalms 126. We're going to go through it. So we've got a few things to say. And so what I'm going to do is I'll read through it first, and I'll read through it in the King James Version of the Bible to give us a base standard of tonight's conversation. And the Bible says the following: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. The Bible then says the following: then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the word that we have over our lives as a church and as individuals going into this season. We won't say it's a 12-month season going into this season. Remember, the Lord is taking us into the new. He's taking us into a very special place. He's taking us into a place that only he can see and understand. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 126 and let's see what the Lord says in those in that various areas. And so the King James Version of the King James Version of the Psalm is actually quite clear. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. So what we realize, this particular psalm, ladies and gentlemen, looking at it from the King James Version of the Bible, it says, when the Lord turned again our captivity, that means when he turned, he literally caused us to walk free. But not just us. Remember, this was written concerning the children of Israel that had gone into Babylon. They found themselves among the multiple nations, some free, some enslaved in the Babylonian Empire. And that's where they were for 70 years. They were there for the reasons of them abandoning the Lord, and they were there. And then, after 70 years, through intense prayers, they had prayed, they had cried, they had fasted, they had done what the Lord had said. When the 70 years was up, God kept his word. And he came back to them and he said, I'm going to take you home. And a series of fortunate events, miraculous events, led to the children of Israel being released from Babylon. And they found themselves back in Jerusalem and they began to rebuild it. There are many stories in the Bible, Nehemiah, Ezra, and stuff. There are quite a few. And so the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I wanted you to write down what you are believing God for, I want you to hold on to this thought that this particular season, it is God's desire to turn our seasons, whatever they may be, so that the phrase, we were like them that dream, becomes a reality for us. And so that's what the King James presents to us. And so we have the fact that God has done it and that we were like them that dream. Now, before we go through the whole psalm, and we're going to go through it pretty much verse by verse, let me read you the same psalm in two other versions of the Bible. And so let me turn to the Bible in basic English. So if you're following in your notes, let me read to you the same psalm in the Bible in basic English. And it says the following: when the Lord made a change in Zion's fate, we were like men in a dream. Then our mouths were full of laughing, and our tongues gave a glad cry. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, because of which we are glad. Then verse 4 comes along and it says, let our fate be changed, O Lord, like the streams in the south. Those who put in seed with weeping will get in the grain with cries of joy. Though a man may go out weeping, taking his vessel of seed with him, he will come again in joy with the corded stems of grain in his arms. So I'm reading Psalms 126. Now, I'm reading it from the Bible in basic English. So it may sound, so let me put that in the chat for the moment. Thank you for those that have already done so. Psalms 126, and I'm reading it in the Bible. So let me just write that out. The Bible in basic English. There we go. And so that's what I've just read. And so notice, it's a two-part psalm. The first part is that, Lord, this is what you have done. The Bible says we are like them that dream, our mouths are full of laughter. But then the Bible switches. The Bible says the Lord has done great things for us, because of which we are glad. So let's pause on that. That's the first part, and we're going to keep that in mind. But then from verse 4, 5, and 6, the psalm goes into a plea. And it said, Lord, let our fate be changed. So it's one thing for the Lord to bring you out of whatsoever is serving as a prison or a challenge. But the next thing we want to realize is what God has started, he will complete. And so they were asking that, God, you've brought us back to Jerusalem. We've come back to a city that has been empty for, 70 years, or with a very, The walls were burnt, the gates were destroyed, the temple's been destroyed. There was a remnant of people living amongst the rubble, living in houses where they were. They must have spent their life of terror and fear. And they came back to Jerusalem. And so the elation of them being free was turned or tinted with God. Yes, you've done one miracle, but now you've got to do some more. These are fields that haven't been plowed for 70 years. These are, wells that haven't been dug. This is where we used to live. We have nowhere to worship right now. We've come back and there is no temple. We have to rebuild the walls. What if somebody else attacks us? And so what I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what I sense him, and I'll read it in another version again, and then I will begin to explain what I sense in my spirit about tonight. I'm actually quite excited. I'm very excited. The fast was amazing. And God will keep his word to you. Please keep that in mind. He will keep his word to you. So the Bible in basic English says it very clearly. There are two parts, and it says, when you made a change in Zion's fate. And so let me say this. Notice, it's like, look, the Lord intervened, and that which persisted changed. So will it be with us. And so we realize that's the first part of the psalm. The second time that is requested is, okay, now we are home. Change what it looks like. Change the circumstances. And so will it be with you. But now I'm going to read it in two more versions, because you'll get a picture of what it looks like. Let me read it in the English Revised Version. Now, in the English Revised Version, listen to the way it's written. The Bible says, Psalm 126, and I'm reading from verse 1, but now I am reading same Psalm, and this is the ERV, if you want to check. So I'm going into the ERV, Psalm 126. The Bible says, a song for going up to the temple. It will be like a dream when the Lord comes back with the captives of Zion. We will laugh and sing happy songs. Then the other nations will say, the Lord did a great thing for Zion. Yes, we will be happy because the Lord did a great thing for us. So, Lord, bring back the good times, like a desert stream filled again with flowing water. Then those who were sad when they planted will be happy when they gather the harvest. Those who cried as they carried the seeds will be happy when they bring in the crops. Now, notice the difference. And what I want you to notice is, because of the second part of the psalm, the translators for the English Revised Version have put everything in the future. God, when you do this, when you do this, when you do this. And the reason I wanted to read that is, there may be some people where it feels like it's still in the future. God, I've fasted for, for however many days I fasted, I've prayed, I've done everything you've asked for, but it's still coming. I know you're going to do it, but it's not here now. I know that it's going to happen, but it looks like it's in the future. And please notice the key. And may I reassure you, the Bible says, when the Lord comes back with the captives of Zion, the person who made the promise is the Lord. And so, as you read the Bible in whatever version, I want you to realize, notice in all the versions, the outcomes are positive because the Lord made a promise that where I have scattered you, I will come and collect you. And so that's our reassurance. And so if somebody's still holding on to a promise, or somebody has prayed and they haven't seen God come through, that's absolutely fine. God is the center of this matter. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. And so notice how that psalm reads. The last one I want to read is the one that I'm going to teach from tonight. Well, I'm going to use it as my foundation. And this is what the beautiful thing about the Bible study, and this is what I wanted to show you. When you are looking for the Bible to speak to you, I want you to spend, notice, there is reading. That means you read your favorite version, maybe whether that be the TPT, whether that be the King James. That's read the Bible, and it will speak to you. That's wonderful. But study is different. Study is where you get as much of the facts as possible that will then give you an insight into what all of them are saying, because they all agree. The Bible is truth. The versions of the Bible agree. They all agree. And so what I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, is that start with reading and then move on to study, especially when you want the Bible to explain or speak to your circumstances. You've got to do a little bit more. And so that was literally what I was doing tonight. And I get very excited about these things. This was the last version I looked at, and it's Young's Literal Translation. So I'm going to read the same thing, and then we can start. So Young's Literal Translation, and I'm going to come. We're reading Psalms 126. Same verse, but listen to this translation. Psalm 126, verse 1, Young's Literal Translation. A song of the ascent, again going up to the temple. In Jehovah's turning back to the captivity of Zion, we have been as dreamers. When I read that, I had to stop. One person that translated it saw that this is a prayer that will give hope to anybody, and they placed it in the future. Another person that translated it, whether it be the King James or the Bible in basic English, in beautiful terms, said God's already done it. And this is what they describe. Young's literal translation is slightly different. It's very, very, very close to what it says in Hebrew. And so, in as close as I can get, this is from what I've seen, to what it would read for a Jewish person or for a Hebrew person, this is what the Bible is saying. The Bible says, in Jehovah's turning back to the captivity of Zion, we have been as dreamers. Verse 2, then filled with laughter is our mouth, and our tongue with singing. Then do they say among nations, Jehovah did great things with these. Verse 3, Jehovah did great things with us. We have been joyful. Turn again, O Jehovah, to our captivity, as streams in the south, those sowing in tears with singing do reap. Whoso goeth on and weepeth, bearing the basket of seed, surely cometh in with singing, bearing his sheaves. Now, all of a sudden, you see something different. In the other translation, when the Bible says turn, it describes the circumstance. Israel being in Babylon, them being in captivity, and the turning concept is the Lord taking them out. What the Bible says in Young's literal translation, which is where we want to pitch our tent tonight, is this: the person who did the turning is God. And the Bible says God turned back and began to pay attention to the children of Israel because his anger had subsided. He said, You're going into captivity for 70 years. This is the reason you're going into captivity. You have worshipped other gods. You have done this. You have done that. And this is the punishment. But the Bible says when the punishment was over, when the demands for justice had been met, the Lord turned back and looked at the children of Israel and said, it's time for you to come home. And once he did so, a series of miraculous events caused his will to come to pass. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to hold on to, if you would, looking at all those, the different ways the Bible puts it, let's understand. Let me put it this way. The Lord has turned his attention to what you are going through. And it is that that is going to cause a series of miraculous events to produce in your life the state of you being like them, that dream. And so, ladies and gentlemen, for the Lord to say in this season, this is my word to you, it means the Lord has turned his face to what you have been going through. And once he does so, the Bible says things begin to change. And so I want your hopes to rise. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this psalm tonight, I want you to please hold on to the reality that, please hear me well, the Lord has turned his attention to what you are going through because his plans and his purposes demanded it. He's said that this season, I want to take you from where you are into where you should be for the next season of your life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's where I want to start. And so the Bible says in Jehovah's turning back. And so let's have a look at that first, and then we will move on to a few other things tonight. And you know what? I'm not going to try and finish it. It's going to be fun to walk this journey with you again. I'm very excited. Why are we not letting it drop? You'll understand in a moment. We're not letting it drop because if God has given us a word for this season, it's now our job to take that word, break it down, plant it into our spirits, and then begin to speak, act, to pray it, to speak it, to act on it, and then the miracles will begin to show up. And so let's have a look at what happens when the Lord turns. So let's have a look at how Israel got there. Turning your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to go into the King James Version of the Bible for the moment. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm going to go to verse 20. Deuteronomy 32. And I'm going to pick up the narrative. And the Lord is speaking, and it's gorgeous reading. Gorgeous reading. Verse 20. Let me actually, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read from verse 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to give you the picture, and it will really help. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1, and I'm going to read from the King James Version of the Bible. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. For information, ladies and gentlemen, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, coming towards the end of his journey before he hands over to Joshua. So he's reminding the children of Israel, this is who your God is. This is what he has done. This is why you can trust him, even when I am not there. And then the Bible says in verse 5, God begins to tell the children of Israel their sins, even sins they hadn't yet committed. The Bible says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Please remember that, ladies and gentlemen. He found him in a desert and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Then the Bible says the following, but Jeshurun, that's Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little bit of context. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel who have got to the promised land and said, we're not going in. They came to the edge of their miracle and said, we would rather wander in the wilderness. We are not going into where you want us to be. So they began by virtue, and this is what Moses is describing, that God has been so good to you, but now you have forgotten him. Now you have started to worship other things that are around you. So we pick up the narrative from verse 15, and I'll keep reading. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Now listen carefully to what happens. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and daughters. Verse 20 is key. The Bible says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my face away from Israel, and I'm going to leave them to their activities, and let's see what happens. Now, when the Lord turns his face away from something, and this is what I'm going to put two scriptures together. I want you to realize when the Lord turns his attention away from something, or when he looks away from something. It literally separates that thing from God, because we thrive when God blesses us. And the Lord said, because you've pushed me this far, I'm going to turn away. So when Israel went into captivity many years later, it was because they pushed God so far. He said, I'm going to turn away from you. And for 70 years, I'm going to let other nations control you. I'm going to let them take you into isolation, and I'm going to let the land rest for the 70 years, which are the 10 Sabbaths. You refuse to let them rest. And so what I want you to keep in mind, when God turns his face away from something, that which he causes to make happen stops happening. And so when we look at Psalm 126, where the Bible says, and the Lord turned back to the captivity of Zion, meaning the people that were left in captivity, it means the challenge that caused him to turn away has been removed. And he does what? He looks back. Turning your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, to drive this point home, to Numbers chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading from verse 22. Numbers 6, and I'm going to pick up the narrative at verse 22. This is what the Bible says. And the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons. Numbers 6, verse 22. And the Bible says the following. And the Lord spake unto Moses. So the Lord says to Moses, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, that means in this manner, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them. That means a blessing means you are connected to the ability and the power and the influence of an almighty God, where God transfers a part of himself to you so that what he wants to happen will happen. And the Bible says the following. The Bible said, verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. So the first thing is, when the Lord said, not only will I bless you, I will protect you. And when the Lord protects you, that means nothing around you can harm you. Verse 25 is key. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So when the Lord focuses on you, when the Lord pours his attention on you, the Bible says he will bless you and he will keep you. That means he will literally, he will become your defense. The Bible says the Lord make his face shine upon you, and notice what happens next, and be gracious unto you. When the Lord is gracious unto you, the things that happen make no sense. Good things happen because the Lord makes the miraculous happen. And I'll show you where, I'll take you to a couple of scriptures to back that up, so that we understand what the Lord is doing in our lives, right now. Yes, Jeremiah. I'm going to take it from 5. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'll go there in a minute. I'm just making sure I keep the notes. Verse 26. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Bible says, verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So what you realize, ladies and gentlemen, is when the Lord pays attention to you, everything goes well. So when the Lord said, the Bible says, and the Lord turned back to the captivity of Zion. Notice, What was a curse, a limitation, a lack of grace, a lack of his presence, a lack of his person were all removed, and the miraculous began to happen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me well. The Lord has turned to you in favor. He's turned to you. He's turned to your circumstances. He's turned to the most difficult things that you might be facing. And the Bible says the miraculous will begin to happen, not because you and I are amazing, but because God is now involved. Why has he done it in this season? We don't know. Why has God said that in this season, I'm going to turn your seasons because I want you to do and be something for me. I want, my plan demands it. So ladies and gentlemen, in the very same way, I want you to please keep this in mind. The Bible says when God's face shines upon you, when God turns to your matter and he looks, when I say he looks, it literally means God intervenes. And when God intervenes, that which is unjust will be corrected. That which is broken will be fixed. So this is why I'm excited. And ladies and gentlemen, notice the qualification. You will be like those that dream. Why? Because you got God's attention. Notice what he said. He said, in this way, when you cause me to pay attention to the children of Israel, you place my name upon them, and it is literally like I am walking with them physically. Now, this is key. What it means, ladies and gentlemen, you have the attention of the Almighty. And when somebody has the attention of the Almighty, God does not take it away until what he has come to do is completed. Let me take you to two scriptures to back that up. So we realize, and so notice, we're going into this particular psalm. You will be like them that dream. Why? Because you have God's attention. In this season, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we as a church, we as a people, the body of Christ, we have God's attention. This is key. So, ladies and gentlemen, please turn in your Bibles. Let's look at two scriptures where God's attention precedes his intervention. Turn with me, please, ladies and gentlemen, to Genesis. To the book of Genesis and verse 29. Now, this particular scripture is not in my notes. And the reason I say that is the Lord wants to undo something unjust on behalf of somebody. Now, listen to what the Bible says. The story is where Laban marries off his daughters to Jacob. The story is popular. Jacob falls in love with Rachel, works 7 years for her. On the night of their wedding, Laban presents his first daughter, Leah, and says, well, we don't want, in our country, we don't let the younger marry before the older. So take the older one, and then, you know what, work with me for another 7 years, and we will give you Rachel as well. The Bible, and so we pick up the narrative. That has happened. And I'm going to start reading from Genesis 29, from verse 30. Now, remember, we're speaking about the attention of the Almighty God. So Genesis 29, I'm going to read from verse 30. And the Bible says, and he went in also unto Rachel. This is Jacob. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. That's Jacob serving Laban. Verse 31. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the attention of the Almighty God comes upon a circumstances and God compares it with what is going on his inside and says, this is not correct. The Bible says he puts it right immediately. Meaning, the Bible says the Lord has turned his face towards you in this season. That which was impossible has become possible because you have the attention of God. Leah could not get pregnant on her own. The Bible says when God put his attention on the circumstances, that which was impossible became possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says, when the Lord turned the captivity, what the Bible is saying is when the Lord turned to the captives that were in Babylon, when they held his attention, because the challenge that caused them to go into captivity was gone, a series of miraculous events took them home. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to have hope in this season. I want you to realize, and so, because I'm sure some people have gone through the 30 days of fasting, 32 days of fasting, 40 days of fasting, and it's like, Lord, but I'm still where I am. I'm still at the same job. I'm still single. I'm still coming before you for health and healing. Hear me well. The difference is you have the attention of God. And when you have the attention of God, what he wants to do, he will get done at irrespective of your circumstances. And so Leah, in all sincerity, was minding her business, but what was happening to her was not fair. And God said, you have my attention now. What I see is not what I was expecting. Fine, let's change things. Hear me well. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to someone. A season of injustice is coming to an end because you have the attention of God. Because God has turned, and I don't know why he decided, and he's saying this all over the world, but this is our season. Because we have the attention of God, God is straightening out a season of injustice. A reproach over somebody's life is being lifted. What they said was impossible is becoming possible because we have the attention of the Lord. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a look at another scripture. And this is where we're going to look at two, but we'll close this out with this. But when you have the attention of the Almighty God, notice, whatever you were facing becomes his problem. And he corrects things according to what's going on his inside. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a look at that in the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. When I was preparing for this, I was actually quite excited. I was quite excited because God's kind. But hear me well, somebody, and I say this carefully, if God says you will be like them that dream, mark God's words, you will have to pinch yourself to say, is this me? And I can guarantee it will be you. It will be you because God said so. So turn your Bibles to Mark 10, verse 46. So let's see what happens when somebody gets the attention of the Lord. And the Bible says the following, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, that is speaking of Jesus Christ, with his disciples, a great number of people Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, please hear me well. And Jesus stood still, meaning everything stopped. Why? He said, you've got my attention. The Bible says the following. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Meaning, whatever you say next is what's going to happen. Why? You have got my attention. And the Bible says the following. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of tonight's Bible study, I asked you to write down what you are believing God for. The reason I want that to be your focus, the reason I want you to have a picture of where we're going, is you have the attention of the Almighty God. And this is something I want you to never forget. Because you've got his attention, the problem is no longer yours. You will be like those that dream. The Bible says, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Bartimaeus says, Lord, let me receive my sight. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Ladies and gentlemen, notice, Bartimaeus cried out until he got the attention of Jesus Christ. But from the moment he got Jesus's attention, the Bible says Jesus stood still. That means whatever we came to Jericho for is either done or it's on hold. But this man has our attention. And he said, call him. Everything. It was like, God, you've got. The Lord was, the picture in my heart is this. Once you have got God's attention, what needs to be done next is not about you, it's about God. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, ask whatever you want. Whatever. He didn't put any limits on it. He didn't say, only ask what is my will. No. He said, what do you want me to do for you? That means this is all on you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take this attitude into the place of prayer over the next few weeks, few days. And I want you to take the attitude that, listen, you have the attention of the Almighty God. And the Lord is now saying, don't pity me. Just ask. Because what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, for the Israelites to leave Babylon was impossible. For them to go back to Jerusalem was impossible. For them to rebuild the temple was impossible. And for them to survive without being attacked by another nation while they had no defenses was impossible. Listen to me very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Why am I so excited? Because you have the attention of the Almighty God. That which was impossible prior is possible now because you have his attention. He has turned to you. That's the key. And so, ladies and gentlemen, hear me well. What ailed you yesterday does not have the same ability today. Why? You have the attention of the Almighty God. There is a stark difference, and I'm going to present that to you in scripture. And the reason I'm saying it is, notice Psalm 126 verse 1 says the following. Now, and I'll read in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Psalm 126. Now read verse 1 again, just to bring us back, and then I'll go to one more scripture and we'll close out with that. The Bible says, when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seems so unreal. Please hear me well. When God does what he has promised you, it will take a while for you to come to terms with the fact that, wait, I am where God said I would be. The impossible only held sway until the Lord turned back to Israel. And from that moment forward, a series of miraculous events, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And the Bible says Israel goes free. You will go free. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to keep that in mind. Whatever you are believing God for, you have the attention of the Almighty God right now. Okay, let's close out tonight on this scripture. Let's have a look at what the difference between when God pays attention to something or when the attention of God is deflected from something. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we will read from 5. And this is where I understood the Lord turning away or paying attention. And this is what the Bible says. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 1:7, verse 5. Have we got that? Fantastic. Jeremiah 17. And I'm going to read from 5. That's it. Here we go. All right. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the following. It says, thus saith the Lord. The Bible then uses a strong word and it says cursed. Now, when we think of curses, we think of hexes, witches, and all sorts. But let me read that verse. Let me go to compare. Let's just. The word cursed literally means, where the Bible says cursed, it means where we see it here and where we see it in Genesis 3, which is the first time it comes up, is that the Lord turns away from. When the Lord judged Adam and he said, because you heard, you've paid attention to the voice of your wife, and you've eaten the fruit that I said you should not eat, he said, cursed is the ground. When the Bible says cursed, it means the Lord turns away from something and he leaves it be. That means he says, My influence will not hold sway over that particular thing. So when the Bible says a man does not trust the Lord, when a man's heart trusts something else, whether it be the flesh, whether it be his own ability, whether it be the ability of others, the Bible says a curse. When we say a curse, that means a place where God does not put his attention comes upon what that man does. And the Bible says, even when good comes, the man will not see it. The Bible says he will be like a heath in the desert. He will be like somebody that has been placed in a parched land, and he will not see good. Why? Because the attention of the Almighty God has been turned away from that thing. Okay, so notice the converse. So the Bible is saying that when a man stops trusting God, the Lord stops paying attention to the things of that man. And the Bible says they inevitably dry up. Then the Bible says the following. Verse 7. The Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. When the Bible says blessed, it literally means for a ruler to stoop down and reach from his lofty position and intervene in the life of one of his subjects at his level. And the Bible says, where God transfers a part of himself to you and I, the Bible says that is a blessing. The Bible says when a man trusts the Lord, the things of that man become the focus of God. And listen to what the Lord says. Listen to what the difference. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's not that this man was planted in better ground than the first one. It's just that one had the attention of the Almighty, the benevolent attention of God, and the other one didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me well. Tonight, I want you to hold on to this thought as we go into this week, that the Lord has turned. It is God that has turned to you. The captor that holds you is not the issue. The God who owns the universe has turned his attention to you. And that God says, let things change. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I want you to begin to understand. I want your hope to rise. Do not think this year is over. This is not a 12-month season. Until God is done. Notice, when the Lord sets his attention on something, on someone, on somewhere, until it becomes what he wants, that place holds the attention of the Almighty God. You hold the attention of the Almighty God, and it will be so until God is done with you. Until you become what God says, someone who literally is dreaming. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I would love to say a prayer as we close. I hope you realize, I hope this has sparked your desires to go into the Word and find out what the Bible says and realize that the promises of God are real. There's so many things. But ladies and gentlemen, what I also want you to please hold on to is this. Believe the word of God. Believe what the Bible says about you. Whether that be in the future tense, whether that be in the past tense. whether that be in the Lord is making something happen, but most of all, you have the attention of the Lord God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, so we begin. It's fun to be back. It's 1 minute past eight, and we'll close with a prayer. Our Father and our God, tonight we ask that you open your word to us afresh. I ask, O Lord, for each person listening and each person that will listen, that as you turn back to them, as you turn your attention upon them, may their lives, their hopes, their dreams, and their aspirations become what you want them to become. Lord Almighty God, do the miraculous. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, may God bless you. May God keep you. It's lovely to be back. I wish you all the best. Have an absolutely wonderful week. I'll see you next week, and God will be kind to you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.